Blog Talk Radio.
The history of sports is filled with the ones who took dubious routes to reach the top. Who really benefits from cheating? Who are the biggest offenders? And I'll also give you my opinion on the top three worst cheaters of all time. Plus, I'll have a final take on Kyrie Irving. This and your phone calls on KD Sports Arena, which starts right now. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another great edition of KD Sports Arena. I am KD, and this is the Sports Arena. We've got a very interesting topic this week, cheating in sports. The bad boys and girls of sports. Who are the biggest offenders? Who benefits most from cheating? And who are my top three cheaters? And who are your cheaters? Call in 347-308-8219 is the number. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter feed that you can click on the links to on the episode page. My Facebook page is facebook.com/KDSportsArena. And of course, the Twitter feed is at Kamari D, my first name and the first initial of my last name. Also, like I said, you can call in 347-308-8219. Check out my Blog Talk Radio spot. Check out the other episodes that I've done. And check out this one as well after it is all said and done. You know, I'm going to try something a little bit different this week as far as getting into the meat of the show. But for right now, I'm going to give you just a couple of quick takes on things that have happened throughout the week and including today. And we're going to start with a triple crown on the line today. The horse racing's triple crown has not been claimed since 1978. Well, later this afternoon, American Pharoah will try to become the 12th horse in history to win horse racing's Triple Crown, and the first since affirmed in 1978. Now, he is the 14th horse to win both the Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes before coming into the Belmont with a chance to win the Triple Crown. All signs point to him actually getting the job done, but history over the last 37 years have told us something bad is going to happen between the start and the finish. First of all, the mile-and-a-half distance. Second of all, the other challengers that have yet to run in the other two races before they get to the Belmont. But American Pharoah seems to be handling things well, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I remember 1998 when Real Quiet was clipped at the end of the line. I remember 1999 when Charismatic had to be pulled up after he finished third. One of the most tragic scenes, and thankfully he's still alive, but it was one of the first sporting events that made me cry. But I'm going to go on a limb and say American Pharoah does get the job done and becomes number 12 of the Dirty Dozen. They have won Horse Racing's Triple Crown. We'll have to wait and see. Now, another champion has already claimed a title today, and her name is Serena Williams. Now, of course, Serena Williams won her French Open title today, her 20th Grand Slam title. She defeated Lucy Savarova of the Czech Republic today in three sets. This was probably her toughest challenge to date because there's no question about it. She had to deal with the flu. She was sick. She was down after the first set in the four previous matches that she had before today's match. Well, she won the first set today, but then the second set, she lost the second set in a tiebreak after having two match points, comes back in the third set and does, and gets the job done, winning 6-2 in the third set. It's the 20th Grand Slam singles title, putting her four behind Margaret Court for the all-time record. Now, I think she's 32 or 33. She has a few more titles to go under her belt. I don't know if she'll get to 24, but she's definitely going to go down as one of the greatest tennis players of all time. And it's just amazing that she can still play at this particular level, even at this age where usually tennis players don't really last after their age of 30. Serena Williams has gotten even better since then. And today she showed this whole tournament, she showed an amazing amount of courage to get through being sick and having the flu, feeling cold, when it's extremely hot, and it's very, very dangerous to play in those type of conditions. Now, the final quick take is going to be on the Women's World Cup. Now, I don't watch soccer a lot, but I do watch World Cups, whether it's male or female, and I really got into watching the women's soccer during the 1999 Women's World Cup. That was the last time the United States won, and it was on United States soil. This time it's up in Canada, our neighbors to the north. And I haven't really been following it a lot, but since I'm an American, since I'm rolling with the United States, I'm going to pick the United States to win the World Cup. And obviously I think there are a lot of people who would probably agree with that are in the know, but the U.S. has not won one since 1999, but I think they get the job done today. Now, let's talk about what we came here to talk about this week. Now, the topic that we've got this week is an interesting one, and I got inspired to do this one because of Jason Smith of the Milwaukee Brewers against the Braves. I think it was about a couple of weeks ago. He was caught with a substance that was rosin and sunscreen on his arm, okay, to kind of get the grip he wanted on the pitches, to kind of manipulate them a little bit as they're coming to the plate. Well, he was immediately ejected from the game. And it was so blatant, it just looked so bad on his arm. And then the excuse he had was he forgot to wipe it off. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if I can feel some sunscreen on my arm. But the point is, there have been a lot more devastating infractions than that. There's no question about it. And certainly, in sports, cheating is something that is really, really negative. It's really one of those things. It's cheating on anything is terrible. But when you're talking about cheating in sports, it's one of the few things that are still pure for the most part in American culture and in culture in general. So when people do cheat, it is really bad. But what makes it even worse is that if everyone can see it, if it's just so blatant, that even makes it even worse and sometimes comical. Now, I know everyone's not going to agree with this list, but this is my list of the top three worst cheaters in the history of sports. Now, you can call in 347-308-8219. I want to get your opinion on who you think the worst cheater in the history of sports is, and it doesn't have to be someone that's on a national level. If you've seen anything locally or at your high school, at college, something, or a story that you had where you saw someone cheating in a sporting event, let me know about it. But this is my top three, the top three, in my opinion, the worst cheaters in sports. Now, number three, Rafael Palmeiro. Rafael Palmeiro, you remember him, is a great first baseman with the Texas Rangers and Baltimore Orioles. Well, he's on my list at number three because he's one of the dumbest cheaters of all time, okay? And remember March 2005, he was part of the big congressional hearing on steroids in baseball. He was there with Mark McGwire. Sammy Sosa was there. Remember Mark McGwire was saying, "I don't recall anything." So Rafael Palmeiro, he gets in front of the Congress, he gets on the mic, and he says, "I have never used steroids." And you can take that to the bank. I've never used steroids. Never used it. Now, I never used it, remember? Well, in August of the same year, he was suspended for 10 days after testing positive for a steroid. Now, he says that he didn't knowingly take the steroid, but as we all know, I don't think it's plainly obvious to people that you don't know if you're taking a steroid. Now, it could have been put in his drink, or it could have been put in some medicine that he had. But the point is, people know when you're taking a substance, what's in that substance. And if you don't know what's in that substance, don't take it, because you're going to be tested. And especially with baseball, because baseball is all about numbers. A lot of purists watch baseball, and baseball, I think, is really not as progressive as far as the fans of the sport as maybe football or basketball. Rafael Palmeiro makes this list just because he's just an idiot. I mean, if you're going to go in front of Congress and say you've never used steroids, don't get caught with them 3 months later or 4 or 5 months later, after you just completely denied using steroids, which he still does to this day. Now, number two on this list, Tonya Harding. Oh yeah, Miss Skater. She orders an attack on her rival Nancy Kerrigan in the 1994 U.S. Figure Skating Championships, and there was a 30 for 30 special on this on ESPN. It was one of their best ones, and she, of course, denies having any involvement of it. Now, in 1994, as we all know, Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding had one of the biggest rivalries in skating, and Tonya Harding was the one, the underdog, the rough exterior. The body wasn't the type of body that people would think of when they think of figure skating. Well, Nancy Kerrigan was the All-American girl. She had all of the endorsements. She had all of the people wanting to talk to her, and she was the favorite to win the U.S. Figure Skating Championship and go on to the Winter Olympics back in 94. Well, Tonya Harding, along with her now ex-husband, and somebody that we still don't know who this guy is, orders an attack during a practice session. Nancy Kerrigan's walking down the walking outside after a practice session at Cobo Arena. A guy clips her with a metal club or a metal stick or something like that, hits Nancy Kerrigan on the right leg. And Nancy Kerrigan, it was all over the news. It was all over TV. CNN did the report. NBC News did the report. ESPN, even back in those days, did the report. Everyone knew about it. And Tonya Harding still denies it to this day. Now, Tonya Harding did win the championship, and she was allowed to go on to the Winter Olympics, along with Nancy Kerrigan, who ended up somehow finishing second. She was picked for the Olympic team. Well, of course, Tonya Harding was stripped of the title, and it was held vacant. They decided to just leave it vacant. But this is one of the worst stories as far as competition that you can ever think of. If you're just better than the person, you're going to beat them. You don't need to hit people with clubs. And so that's why she gets number two. Now, number one, Rosie Ruiz. Now, this happened before my time. I was barely a twinkle in my dad's eye when this happened. But Rosie Ruiz has a very interesting problem. She wants to be a marathon runner, but she doesn't run in marathons. So this is what happened. So back in 1980, the Boston Marathon, she was declared the winner of the Boston Marathon. It's a 26.2-mile race, right? Well, the point of running 26.2 miles is actually running 26.2 miles. Well, Rosie Ruiz decided not to do that. She decided to hop out from the crowd with about 400 or 500 feet to go. So she's running 400, 500 feet, and everyone is like, where did this crazy woman come from? Nobody knew that this woman had won the Boston Marathon. Even the men's winner said she didn't know anything about the route. She didn't know anything about the students along that path. They usually cheer loudly as the people are coming through the neighborhood. Well, it comes to find out that Rosie Ruiz was not on any television cameras. She was nowhere to be found. She wasn't part of the lead group. And, of course, this thing is on television. There are no cameras. So even though she won the award and she got all the gifts that were part of that, she gets stripped of the title. But it didn't stop there. Matter of fact, that wasn't even the worst offense that she did. Just a few weeks ago, she pulled a similar stunt in the New York City Marathon. Now, she finished 23rd, but she took part of the race on the subway. I mean, talk about a terrible, terrible situation. Doing that on the subway, she takes the situation. I gotta tell you, Rosie Ruiz is beyond the shadow of a doubt the worst cheater in sports. She can't even run a race. She should just stick to what she was doing. Well, in 1982, she received 5 years in probation from committing grand larceny and forgery. And nobody still knows where this lady is, or if she's still running marathons or jumping out of the crowd. So those are my top three opinions as to who are the worst offenders of all time in cheating in sports. I'd like to get your opinion, 347-308-8219. You can talk about my list, or you can have some of your own. And we have a caller on the line from the 334 area code. And who am I speaking with here?
Hey, this is a concerned citizen about all those style that cheated in sports.
Concerned citizen? How you doing?
Yes. Doing good. Great show. Loving your show. What about Lance Armstrong? Can you talk about him for a little while? Why do you think people cheat? Why do you think those athletes, they're world class already? Why do you think they have to cheat in sports?
I'll talk about Lance Armstrong, of course. First of all, and then the second question, of course, was about why world-class athletes cheat. Lance Armstrong, to me, is just – he would have made my list, but he probably would have been number two or number three because Roger Ruiz is just the worst to me. He's just the worst. Lance Armstrong is bad, but here's the thing. And Lance Armstrong finally admits it, you know, 20 years later when it doesn't really matter. But Lance Armstrong, the thing with him to me, he wins 7 Tour de France titles, okay, and after battling testicular cancer, which is really you know, one of the worst things that someone can have. And for him to kind of, he goes in, he wins these Tour de Frances, he never tested positive for it during the races, but then we come to find out that Floyd Landis spills the beans on him, and of course, then they find out that he actually did steroids, and finally Lance Armstrong admits it. Now he's up there too with those three, but I just thought that Rafael Palmeiro was just so dumb in his cheating that it was just a little bit more egregious than Lance Armstrong's was. But obviously, he's definitely one of the people that benefited the most from cheating because he had the 7 Tour de France titles. He has a Livestrong Foundation that was created because of that, and they made a lot of money for that, which was good. So that he was definitely one of the biggest beneficiaries of cheating. Now, as far as why athletes cheat, you know, I think there are a couple of things. Number one is the pressure to win, especially for college coaches, and I think a lot of them. And that's why you see a lot of recruitment violations, a lot of violations with academics, as we're seeing with North Carolina just getting a letter of infractions from the NCAA, basically accusing them of academic violations. So a lot of different things go into why world-class athletes cheat. And obviously North Carolina is a little bit of a different situation, but I think the pressure to winning has become so great, and there's so much money involved in a lot of these sports that people just tend to think that the actual athlete has to get that competitive edge in any way, shape, or form. The other reason, another reason why I think people cheat is that they don't think they can get away with it. And we've seen in the past where, you know, people have been cheating over and over and over again. Like, for example, Carl Lewis. And he was one of the 19 athletes in the U.S. Olympic trials that tested positive. Well, nobody knew that, so he was able to go to the Olympics. He was actually one of the biggest beneficiaries of cheating because he won the 1988 Olympic gold medal in the 100 meters after Ben Johnson was stripped for steroids. So how ironic was that? But if you don't find these things out, you know, they think they can get away with it. And I just think at the end of the day, some of these athletes may not be good enough, or they don't feel that they're good enough and don't want to do the work to get better.
Very good. I like that. I like that. What about, have you heard of any cheating in high school sports? Now, I think I've heard one or two stories. You think it's dipped down that far?
I think so. You know, there are a lot of different things, especially with boosters and things like that, people getting impermissible benefits even before they go to college. And, you know, it really starts with, I think, AAU ball and travel baseball at that level because everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants to have their son or daughter take that next level, get to that next step. And if they're good enough to get to that next step, they're going to be good enough anyway. So
right.
I think even at the high school level, you'll see a lot of that. Not as much as I think as you see in college, because I think the rules are set up for people to commit violations anyway. I think the NCAA is over-regulates things at times. At the high school level, I don't think there's enough regulation, and it's hard to regulate it. So I think there's a balance there that has to happen between the high school level and the college level so it doesn't get to the college level. But I think in high school, it's just tough to deal with because there's so many different things that are happening on the outside, and there aren't enough people to look at that as far as, you know, in high school.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, great show. Thank you, and keep doing what you're doing.
I'll keep doing my best. Thank you very much for the call. Who do you think, before I let you go, who do you think is the worst cheater in sports?
The worst cheater in sports?
Yes.
I still say it's Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong? Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there. I think he's definitely up there. There's no question about that.
But I was going to also give you one more, Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, that was pretty bad, too.
Yes.
He was one of the
Roger
ones.
Roger Clemens was getting bigger and bigger.
For years.
Right, exactly. Well, you might want to talk to Roger Clemens. Talk about his situation.
Well, I'll tell you what, Roger Clemens, I'll thank you for the call.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, Roger Clemens is another guy that really benefited from cheating. You know, you talk about a guy that thinks that no one can tell that this man is getting bigger. We could all see it. If you look at him in 1987 when he struck out 20 batters, he looked very small. Now, I've never been small. I've always been pretty husky. But Roger Clemens was – I don't know how this guy thought that nobody was going to tell he was cheating. And, you know, Jose Canseco, you want to talk about a guy that benefited the most from cheating. Jose Canseco writes a book. He admits to using steroids. He's writing a book. He's competing in celebrity boxing matches. This guy, Jose Canseco, should get the award for the most beneficial cheater of all time because he's written a book and he has put everyone else under the bus, and no one's really saying, you know, Jose Canseco is just a bad person. People aren't all the way behind Jose Canseco, but they're saying that Jose is the one that put this whole thing with steroids on the map. But Roger Clemens is a guy who denied it for so many years when we know he was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He was winning World Series titles. He kept striking people out. I think it's hard to tell in baseball if a pitcher's cheating just because their pitchers come in different shapes and sizes. You know, I don't know if performance-enhancing drugs affects pitching as much as hitting. So I think in that situation, he definitely skated for a long time, even though he was getting bigger because, you know, pitchers are big. You know, some pitchers are big, some pitchers are small. But there's no question about it. He was definitely a cheater. I always thought he was cheating. And everyone else thought he was cheating. And that's how people skate by. You know, people think that they're cheating. People know that they're cheating. But they are able to find the right time to have those steroids get out of their system so they don't get caught with them. All right, well, once again, thanks for the call. Once again, 347-308-8219. Let's talk about, and quickly we'll get into who benefited the most from cheating. Of course, Lance Armstrong is on that list because of the seven Tour de France titles. But what about Carl Lewis? Carl Lewis, of course, in 1988, with his Olympic gold medal, even though that was tainted as well. But I think there have been others, obviously, that have benefited from cheating. Let's talk about Tim Donaghy, the NBA referee. He benefited a lot from cheating, as he won a lot of money by doing it. Now, of course, he's lost that money, but just because that happened after the fact doesn't mean that he didn't benefit while he was doing it. I mean, he would make calls in games because he had bet on those games that he was going to officiate. That, of course, is against everything that you could possibly imagine that has to go with the integrity of refereeing in any sport. And I have a friend back in San Antonio when I was growing up. I went to high school with him. His name is Kenny Simmons. He told me that the NBA was rigged. And I said, I don't believe that the NBA is rigged. But every time now I think about Tim Donaghy, I think about what that guy told me all those years ago. And he's dead on. So Kenny, if you ever get to listen to the show, I want to say you are exactly right. Now, obviously, we're getting down towards the end here, and I have to do my final take. But it's very, very hard now not to think that someone that does so well in a certain sport isn't cheating. And I think there's no question that these type of things happen a lot in sports. And we have another phone call. All right, we'll take this phone call quickly. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? I just wanted to call in and tell you another person that I think benefited from cheating was Marion Jones, and that kind of surprised me because I really loved her. And when she was found, you know, using steroids and stuff, that was kind of a letdown. But I think she benefited a lot with her gold medals and things.
There's no question about that. You know, Marion Jones was another one that I thought of a lot of people, you know. Marion Jones was on there, too, and I think it was such a tragic story. You gotta remember, Marion Jones was on the 1994 North Carolina Women's National Basketball Championship team when Charlotte Smith hit the game-winning shot. But Marion Jones wasn't just a figure that was part of track and field. She had so many fans, so many young fans that looked up to her, and so many people that looked up to her, and a lot of young girls got into track and field because of Marion Jones. And like you said, when you found out, that was very devastating. That was very devastating to me as well, because I was one of those I was really wanting to get into sports broadcasting. And one of the things that was very troubling to me was that someone like that, when they're found out, how that changes their life. And that was one of the fascinating stories, because Marion Jones has such a big-time following. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. All right, thank you. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I've got a final take here coming up on Kyrie Irving we're going to get into right now. But this has been a great show. I want to thank the callers for calling in. 347-308-8219. Thank you very much for calling into the show. And I'm going to quickly do a final take on Kyrie Irving. This young man, what a devastating loss this is for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Of course, in game one on Thursday, he played 44 minutes, was just masterful, hitting shots from everywhere, the handles were there. But in the overtime period against Golden State, he broke his left kneecap, so he'll be out 3 to 4 months rehabbing that left kneecap. This is a devastating blow to his career. This guy, 23 years old, he has his whole career ahead of him. He's already a superstar. And Kyrie Irving, to me, kept that franchise afloat while LeBron wasn't there. And I think Kyrie Irving does not get enough credit for how much his game has grown, because he was supposed to be the guy in Cleveland until LeBron got back there and rejoined the Cavaliers. But a tough situation, a tough break for Cleveland. And I think that this may have cost Cleveland an NBA title. But we'll see what happens. Golden State won the first game on Thursday night. It'll be an interesting game to find out what happens. But I think Kyrie Irving played too many minutes in game one. But that's easy to say now, because we know what happened now. He's no longer going to be able to play in this series. I think it's a devastating blow for Cleveland, not just for now, but for the future as well. I want to thank everyone for calling in. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show this week. Next time I join you, it's going to be the same time next week. Year two of the college football playoff. What to expect? What are we going to see next year? Who's going to make the college football playoff this year? I'll talk about that as well. Check out my Facebook page, KD Sports Arena. Also, go to my Twitter feed at Kamari D. I like to tweet out live events. I'll be tweeting out the Belmont Stakes later on today. Thank you for joining me on the show this week, and I will see you next week.